Some years ago, I stumbled onto a spiritual practice that I've ended up adopting. Now, when I say stumbled upon, what I mean is that God showed me something about myself that I wasn't particularly interested in looking at, but needed to. But as it happens sometimes, catching a glimpse about yourself like this brings along with it a gift from God that shows you how to live differently. And this gift was this little spiritual practice that I want to tell you about. So here's the background. I realized that sometimes I get annoyed and cross with people, and that sometimes, this is the really bad part, being cross and being annoyed can eventually turn into the temptation to not really listen to that person anymore. Now, I don't want to overstate this. It's not that it happened all that often, but often enough. So that's not good. It's really not. Because for me, at least, to stop listening means that I am way too close to closing the book on a person and forgetting that their life is a part of God's great big story for all of us that our lives are happening in right now. So, when I got a glimpse of this and what I was doing, it was sort of like it knocked a Charlie horse into my soul and made me realize that I was sick and tired of this kind of thing. The truth is, actually, this realization happened while I was listening to someone who at that very moment was annoying me and making me cross and making me think about closing the book on them. And just then, it came to me, out of nowhere, apparently, to see this person in a different way. Now, this person was probably about 78 or 80 years old at the time, and I suddenly thought about seeing her when she was a child. And I thought, remember, there was a day when this person was 3 years old and tromping around in her own backyard, and she came across a giant bug in the dirt and said, "Oh my gosh, it's the most amazing bug that's ever been. And I just saw it." Now, you might think that that's kind of a weird thought to have, and even weirder for me to share with you in a sermon. But it's the thought that came to me, and it's the thought that set me free. And I suddenly found myself blurting out to this older woman, "Oh my gosh, aren't you great?" And then I grabbed her and hugged her, which I think was sort of alarming to her because there was no context at all for it. So sometimes to this day, I find myself trying to see someone as a 3-year-old. That's my little spiritual practice. And somehow that thought is like Jesus putting this person into your arms and asking you to bless them, just as he does. Jesus was a master teacher, and when he took a child into his arms in front of this group of great big bickering men who'd just been caught arguing with each other about who had the most impressive resume, he knew what he was doing. And whether they fully understood what he was trying to show them or not, it's something they could never forget or get over, and the church never has, and we are still looking at it today. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And Jesus took a child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This past Thursday, I sat in on the chapel service for children of St. Mary's Preschool, right here. Chapel that morning was for the little ones, some of who had really just sort of barely turned three. Some were a little further along in their threes, but not much. One of them lit a candle, and two of them rang bells to signify that it was time to begin. They were led in a song and in a prayer and told a beautiful story about Jesus, who is their good shepherd. It was great. Little kids are amazing. When they're that little, they sort of do what they're told to do, and they sort of don't. I don't really think they can help it. Almost everything that comes into view for them is utterly fascinating. They haven't learned yet to be ho-hum about the miracle of life that we are right in the middle of, nor have they learned to be ho-hum about the miracle of their own lives. And I just sort of sat there with this big old grin on my face, wide-eyed the whole time. It's pretty much impossible not to smile. Let me give you just a couple of snapshots from that morning. When chapel was over, they're supposed to take one another's hands and walk out in a line back to their classrooms. Towards the front of the line, right up there, I saw a little girl reach out and swat a little guy to get his attention. And she said to him, "You're supposed to hold my hand." She grabbed his hand tight and said, "Okay, do it right." We all need a little oversight. Another snapshot was a little girl sitting right there staring out one of these windows here, utterly entranced and awed by something that had come into her vision. There was a lot going on around her, but she was someplace else, utterly transfixed, lost in wonder, love, and praise that was as natural as breathing in and breathing out. And I promise you, for a second, I thought she was glowing. And then there was this spontaneous, exuberant little group hug that just sort of suddenly happened out of nowhere. Two little kids sort of grabbed each other, hugging, and then a third, a fourth, and a fifth piled in. And so it was this sort of wild clump of hug. Now, I don't want to get overly sentimental about children, although it may be too late, but they are all of those beautiful things. But they are also annoying, exhausting, tripwires of sudden overwhelming emotion. And they can hurt each other, just like the rest of us. But when Jesus takes a child into his arms, he is trying to find a way to loosen the grip we have on what we think it means to be great. All the calculations and pomposity and scorekeeping of that, and help us see what it means to be great in his Father's kingdom. One of the keys, I think, for understanding what he is showing us is to see that for a child, the whole world still lies before them. The world is all a future that is coming, where each day is filled with brand new, never before seen experiences and wonder. Every day brings something new, like a door being opened onto a world you have never seen before. And this is true even for those of us who are a little long in the tooth, just as it is for those three-year-olds. Martin Smith speaks to this and has written, "The Spirit of God always comes from God's future. The Spirit does not come to us in a pipeline from the past, but blows upon us from the future. The Spirit is God who is to come. To be like a child means that I stop insisting on what I am and loosen my grip on what I have been and continually open myself in prayer to what God is inviting me to become and to recognize that I can be born again and again and again. I am still malleable," he writes. "New buds appear. New gifts can be bestowed. My mind can change. I am like a child, educable, still discovering, still in formation, unfinished and barely begun. And again in prayer, I praise God in the words, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Like this very day that is still before us, brimming with new life we have never lived before. Jesus brought a child to himself into his own arms to help us see where greatness lies and to see ourselves taken into his arms as well, and to receive his blessing that gives us grace to see ourselves and one another in God's own great story that, as you know, is very far from over. Amen.